So, is your population getting too old? I mean, that's happening in a bunch of countries. So, it is actually very possible you're living in a country that is graying. The population is skewing to the older generation. So, there's a very simple solution to that, and Japan has come up with it, which is great. You just redefine what old is. So, currently, elderly is defined as someone 65 and over, so the retirement age. And they're saying, hey, what we can do is just redefine that as 70 and older. And then we got less old people. And those people can keep working. Doesn't matter how they feel or if they want to retire or anything like that. They can keep working because, they're not old anymore. The government's actually promoting reskilling for all generations. And of course, this is specifically designed as this new generation of people who were old, who are not old anymore. They're not saying specifically what they're going to reskill them to. So, right now, you're 65 years old. You've worked your whole life in one industry or two industries, let's say. You've probably worked in one industry, maybe multiple companies. How are they going to reskill you is actually a very interesting question. I'm wondering, yeah, because would that mean to me, reskilling is taking someone who doesn't know how to computers and teaching them how to use computers. If you've ever tried to get older people to use new technology, it's tough. Like I try to stay up on technology. I can see there are elements and parts that fall away. Certainly, like there are apps where, people who do use them regularly show me how to use stuff. I was like, wow, I didn't know that was in there. I am approaching the first old, and then as soon as I get there, they're going to move it to the second old. And I can tell you, I don't want to work now. Why? I don't want to work 5 more years after working my whole life. And I don't want to be reskilled. This is very bleak looking for me. The government is predicting a 1% economic growth as a result of this scheme if it is successful. I'm wondering how much pushback they're going to get. They do talk about Social Security and stuff, which, the only way to keep Social Security robust is to have people pay into it. So if you have too many people retired and not enough young people, they're not paying enough money into it to support the old people, and then they get nothing when they retire. So I do see that the Social Security is a big issue, but I don't think redefining old and making a bunch of people who've retired start working again is the way to do it. Because what they're actually talking about is if you're 65 and you start getting Social Security and they redefine old, then you might lose it for 5 years and have to go back to some sort of job. And as a prospect, that makes me very sad, which makes perfect sense for our next story. Global Happiness Report 2024. The fact that you have to make a global happiness report, like you just can't assume everyone's happy, is already a bit, oh man. Japan is on a downward trend. A lot of countries are. So this isn't just picking on Japan. Japan's a group, a country of depressed people. This is a lot of countries are on a downward trend. But it has dropped 13 points from 2011. So the worldwide survey, this was interesting. This survey only surveyed 2,000 respondents in Japan. So the entirety of the Japanese Collective Happiness Index is based on the feelings of 2,000 people. There are millions of people in Japan. If you only surveyed, last week they surveyed like 1,800 foreign people and used that to represent all foreigners in Japan. And I was already like, that seems like a poor sample size. Sampling 2,000 people from the country seems like not enough to actually call it a fair answer. So I'm going to put a big asterisk on the end of this. I don't think this is a good survey. It may not be representative. Unless, of course, the other millions and millions of people in Japan are just too depressed to answer, in which case this is really, really accurate. 57% said they were very happy or rather happy. There were four categories. There was very happy, rather happy, somewhat unhappy, and then just miserable. The happiest country in the world. Oh, I should have done a quiz. I got to work my quizzes in advance. I'm a bit busy this week. But what do you think the happiest country in the world is? This would be the quiz question. So I'm going to pause. Please lock in your answer now. Oh, Ignatz is in the chat. So let's do it. Ignatz, what country do you believe is the happiest country in the world? They have an 85% of the people who responded said they were very or rather happy.
It's one of those scannability places.
It's one of those scannability places. I don't know what scannability means.
Scandinavian.
Scandinavian, it makes way more sense. You are on the right track. Please name a Scandinavian country. There is a second place that is very not Scandinavian, but also, well, I was going to make a joke about that, but please name a Scandinavian country. And if you can name, I mean, you're going to get partial points for Scandinavian. You are correct.
Norway or Sweden.
Norway or Sweden is not correct, but you, again, you're very close. It's a good guess. I didn't get the whole list. I only got like the top two and the bottom few and stuff like that. So I don't actually know where Norway or Sweden rests within this. The Netherlands, 85% said they were very happy or rather happy. 83% in Mexico. Now, my stories, my news media input from Mexico is all cartel stuff and murders and people dying and stuff. But people in Mexico, 83% said they are very happy or rather happy. And I guess if, like, I eat burritos almost every day. If you're eating Mexican food every day, you're going to be pretty happy anyways. So that's pretty good. Japan was 28th on the list. The lowest two were South Korea and Hungary. And Hungary, they tied for 48%. So if you want to go to, see, I don't think this is representative. If they're getting these low numbers, 2,000 people don't represent a whole country. But I do know that South Korea has the worst work-life balance in the world. And that's got to say something. Again, my thing about Japan as a country has been work-life balance. I've been saying it for years and years and years doing News Japan. The thing to fix the country is to fix the work-life balance, and then all the other stuff would start to fall into place afterwards. But who's going to listen to the number two news, Japanese news entertainment podcast in the world other than not politicians, because they're not smart enough to listen. Although I do rip on politicians a lot. I bet no politician would actually want to listen to this, because if their name came up, they'd be like, ah, he's going to make fun of my apology and retracting my statements. There is a global trend right now towards the happiness index going down. So I would be interested in checking out the happiness index, what kind of questions they actually ask you. But looking at the results, not enough people, but weirdly accurate for what I would assume are the countries with the worst work-life balance. February 2005. We're going to get all the surveys up front. I do enjoy my surveys and my numbers and stuff. February 2005, a survey was done. Should we have a female emperor? 87% people said yes, we should have a female emperor, because as I've stated in other emperor-related stories in the past, they don't do anything. So the fact that it's a man or woman does not matter anymore. That went down to 72% in 2006 when a prince was born. So they're like, hey, we have a male heir. Maybe we don't need these ladies anymore. It went down to 68% in 2017. 30% of the people back in that survey in 2017 said we should take someone from the former imperial lineage that left sort of the royal family line after World War II. There is a relationship there, though. There's a reason those people left the royal family after World War II, and it might be one of the reasons why we don't want them back. Because right now, what does the emperor's family do? They work with the Red Cross. They do, like, let's make countries nice with each other. They do charity work. I think that's great. I actually think that's good work, and it's good to be done. I just think these people should have to have jobs and stuff as well. This year, a different survey was done last month. And so it's not, or it's related because the topic is the same, but it was done, again, don't want to get too much into the weeds, but it's done like different numbers, different amounts of people. A different survey was done last week. 81% of those people said, bring on the ladies. We want a female emperor, or we're comfortable with a female emperor. And I think, yes, either take whoever is next in line. I don't care about their gender, male or female, or any other aspect of their personality. They are just part of the royal family. If you're going to have a royal family, just deal with them. Do not overcomplicate this. Or do maybe the more sensible thing and just get rid of them. Like, how are taxpayer dollars being spent on this while we're talking about, in our first story, raising the age of retirement from 65 to 70? Like, why are we paying for a royal family when you have 70-year-olds having to work? Because I'm already done. I was done probably a few years ago, but I gotta keep working until I get my pension. This is like one of those cop movies where it's like the day before my pension kicks in and I die. It's the day before my pension kicks in, they change the rule and I have to keep working for another 5 years. It's a nightmare. Those should be horror movies at this point. If your country is considering moving the definition of elderly from 65 to 70 to keep those people working and reskilling those people, which would mean training, which means you have to pay for training, maybe the money we spend as a country on the royal family isn't really worth it. Like the whisper. I do like whispering every now and then. It really brings the tension in, but down in a soft way. There was that town talked about last week. They installed a big black barrier to cover a Lawson that was under Mount Fuji because visitors, tourists were coming and they were flocking to this place and taking this iconic picture, and they were standing in the road and they were causing problems and they were being dirty and stuff. All the stuff they're complaining about over tourism right now in Japan. What has happened as a result? Well, a lot of people are like, this isn't great because it's kind of an eyesore, but taxi drivers said the traffic is better. It's a lot safer. And what has actually happened is people have, as I would have guessed, moved to another Lawson location that is similar and taking a similar picture. So now you're going to get everyone in this area, every Lawson in this area is going to have to put a black barrier. They are talking about solutions because this obviously is an imperfect solution. It has worked for this one location because people are now moving to other locations, but you're just taking the problem and moving it to some other town or place that is similar. They're saying what they're going to do is put up the big a QR code on the big black barrier. See if I can say that five times fast. Big black barrier, put a QR code on the big black barrier. If I practice, it's not bad. They want to put a QR code on the big black barrier, and that will guide you to places where it's appropriate to take good pictures of Mount Fuji, like tourist locations, and stop bothering locals who are actually trying to get to Lawson to get their one cup. It's interesting. So the complaint now that this thing has actually been erected is that the locals are saying, we have a problem, and it's that we don't like the big black barrier. So they're talking about replacing the barrier with a different color. I did originally say a green screen, which would be super problematic because all the influencers would go there, take a video, and then put something else, like their anime Lawson in the foreground, and then take a picture of them in front of their anime Lawson in front of Mount Fuji. Charge them for it, and then we have a solution to the thing that I don't have to now retire at 70 instead of 65. All that money should go into a fund for me so that I can go into early retirement. So they are talking about a different color to make it more appealing. But putting this thing up costs 1.3 million yen, which came out of the town's coffers, which came out of the town's money. So they're like, is this really the solution, to spend more money to get a new barrier that's a different color after spending all this money put up in the first place? There is no simple solution to any problem. This is something I've found. I become hyper fixated on solutions. So the best example for me is I needed a backpack for my judo clothes. So I wrap up my judo suit and I measured it and I found the perfect measurements and I was like, okay, this will be great. So I went online and I found a backpack. I actually have it here. Right, it's a sling black, it's a sling back. It's rated Hazard 4, which is the like super durable. It says it could, you know, inhibit a bullet. It's not, it can't say it's bulletproof because a bullet would go through it, but maybe it would slow it down and it would do less damage to me. I'm certain there's a lot of factors in there. So I bought this bag. It was very expensive, going to last me for years. I've done it. I've got the perfect bag and I put the judo suit in and it fits perfectly. I'm hyper-focused on the solution. Then I immediately go, I need a water bottle. And that doesn't fit because the measurements are exactly to the judo suit, not the judo suit plus water bottle. And there's stuff on top of that, water bottle and change of underwear. And change of pants, t-shirt, whatever. Like, I go in one set of clothes, let's say my work clothes, I want to come home in maybe more casual, more comfortable clothes. I'm still probably sweating, so I want to put on a t-shirt or something. So I got to bring the t-shirt, I got to bring a towel because I want to take a shower, I got to bring a water bottle, I got to bring underwear and stuff. And then if there's anything else I need to bring that day, a notebook, something else like that, it has to go in there as well. So I was hyper fixated on a single solution, and I didn't take into account the bigger picture around it. That is a very common Chunk McBeef Chest way of having a mistake, is I've actually solved a problem so perfectly, I failed to take into account other things surrounding that problem. This is kind of what they're doing. We've put up a barrier, we've solved this individual problem, but we've actually just made different problems. Now locals are saying that this thing, this barrier is ugly. Now locals are saying, like, locals in a similar location, maybe close by, are going, all you've done is move those people to where we are. That's not a solution. Do I have a solution for it? Tear down Mount Fuji. This is very interesting. Now we're going to get into news. There's no more surveys. So if your survey porn has not been satisfied, you got to go somewhere else. A teacher was being brought to trial for sexual crimes in Yokohama. We've actually done this kind of story, dirty teachers. I actually have kind of shied away from dirty teachers because there's not much to make fun of. It's just gross and awful. And I do want to be relatively flippant about the stories I talk about. So I've actually not touched these as much because there's no joke factor. The Yokohama School Board brought staff in to the courthouse to occupy all the seats so they would keep the public out of the trial. Now, why do you think they did that? you have a teacher who's on trial for doing something dirty, dirty, bad, and gross. So you bring in all your staff, and they're going to fill up all the seats so the public can't take part or can't watch this trial. They have done this 8 times for 8 trials. Well, I guess it would be a trial isn't just a single event. So 8 trials, which would be multiple days. They had 371 staff members. They used up to 50 at a time to make sure that all the seats were taken. And they did this for, this could be 50 people per trial. The school board even paid travel expenses for the staff to get to the trial to take the seats so the public couldn't see the court case, which means the tax money in Yokohama that goes to education is going to pay to keep the public from seeing the trial of the teacher who abused a student. That's a lot going on in one single sentence. The Board of Education, when this was brought to their attention, said that this was done at the request of the victims to protect their reputation. Now, I think there's a word you should swap out there. If you said the Board of Education said this was done at the request of the Board of Education to protect their reputation, I think that might be more accurate. They then vehemently denied. They admitted it was excessive, and they apologized for doing it. They did not say they're going to stop. So that is an interesting thing. The school board has decided to make sure the public does not have access to public trials, and they're claiming it's for the victim's benefit, not to protect themselves. 59-year-old man got arrested. Oh, I love my 59-year-old men. As soon as I say that phrase, now we've set a tradition at Ninja News Japan. If I say 50-something-year-old man got arrested, you know it's gross and dirty. This isn't as bad. It's interesting, though. He'd been drinking. So there's the combination. 50-year-old man plus alcohol. And you know he's not elderly. He's still defined as a young man. He wanted to confront his neighbor about parking in their property. So his neighbor's parking maybe in their parking lot or going over the middle line or something like that. It's a very get off my lawn scenario. And I've gotten to that age where I'm like waiting for someone to come out so I can charge out and be like, get out of my driveway. I don't have a lawn. I got a driveway. Get out of my driveway. You can't park here. I don't know why my accent changes when I do that. That's a certain, I guess that's the change from old to elderly is a significant accent change. His wife stopped him. She said, look, honey, you're drunk. You're being unreasonable. Don't go confront the neighbor about this. Let's maintain some neighborly relations. We'll have a conversation with them when you're in a better state of mind. He's like, no. And he hit her with a banana peel. Now, here's the problem. The only bit of information that's lacking in the article that I want. Did he throw the banana peel and the banana peel hit her in the face? Or did he actually slap her with a banana peel? They're both funny, but they're funny in different ways. Because you could throw a banana peel and it could just sail over them. But if he threw a banana peel and he sniped her, that's actually kind of awesome. If he slapped her with a banana peel, it's like you want to slap someone, but you don't want to hurt them. Did he do it forehand or backhand? Did he bitch slap her with a banana peel? Because now what I want to do more than anything else is get into a gentle argument with someone, a confrontation, and then backhand them with a banana peel, which I think would be really funny. The wife, on the other hand, didn't think it was funny. She calls the police. The police show up and like, your wife says you hit her with a banana peel. And he's like, yeah, I hit her with a banana peel. Is that a big deal? And then he gets arrested for it. While he's being arrested, he said, is this considered violence? Couples experience this level of violence. No, actually they don't. I've never hit any partner I've had with anything. I've never hit any of my partners in the entirety of my life. So that is not true, but at the same time, I'm not on his side, but it's like, it seems unreasonable for her to have called the police over him hitting her with a banana peel. Because the banana peel didn't hit her. Because whenever they have any sort of these assault or violent statements, they talk about how long it takes the victim to heal from their injuries. And there's no mention of that because getting hit in the face with a banana peel doesn't actually hurt. So there's nothing to recover from. But there is also the question of escalation. So once you hit someone with a banana peel, the next step is obviously hitting them with a watermelon. 55-year-old man arrested. Yep. Two in a row. He was coming back from Thailand. I watched a video just the other day of two British tourists in Thailand just getting the crap beat out of them by some security guards because apparently they had hit one of the service workers. I actually don't know what kind. I don't know if it was legit or, you know, a red light district or that kind of thing. But it was enough of an area where they have security workers and they're just the ladies, the bar ladies are trying to stop the security workers from beating the crap out of these two British dudes. But there's something very satisfying of watching British men get beat up. If they had done it with banana peels, now this is my new high standard. If you're going to beat someone up, you beat them up, you know, physically, bump, 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 knock them down. And at the end, you backhand them with a banana peel. You can oi all you want. You would get the same satisfaction of watching two British tourists get their shit kicked out of them by Thai security guards. I guarantee.
I did.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. I knew it. Everyone, British people have the same feeling as everyone else about watching British tourists get beat up. If you said they were Canadian, I'd be like, oh, but Canadians are nice people. I hold the stereotype where my default stance is Canadians are nice. And then you would prove to me that they were bad people and I'd be like, oh, they deserve it. There is the default is that British tourists deserve it. And in Thailand, again, you kind of know. You kind of know. I know nothing about them, but you kind of know. They deserve the backhand with the banana peel. All right, so this guy, Japanese dude, 55 years old, he gets on an airplane, he's coming back from Thailand. He's drunk, allegedly. I can literally guarantee you this man was drunk. I don't need to do any detective work. While he was on the airplane, he was yelling and trying to hit other passengers. I mean, I've never been on a flight where that's happened. Everyone's actually been very, I guess that's why those they end up videos on the internet. I wonder like if I would hit him back. If someone tried to hit me, would I hit them back? I probably wouldn't. Like, I have a great deal of violence within me, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to go to prison. I don't want all these problems. But I guarantee if one of those dudes hit, like, one of my kids, I would just go apeshit on him. I'd be like a Thai security guard on a British tourist with a banana peel. So he was moved from wherever he was sitting to a different set place. Now, I'm wondering if he was in first class and was moved back to economy or vice versa. I don't know, because how many places can you actually move someone on an airplane? But he was moved. He then tried to do lewd acts towards the flight attendants. And it says several. He was hugging and trying to kiss one flight attendant for up to 10 minutes. And man, that is a long time. And they couldn't do anything about it, it seems. So he was taken off the airplane when they landed and he was arrested. His statement was, I don't remember because I was drunk, which is one of the most classic Japanese defenses of bad behavior ever. I do have a counter for obstruction of business. I was thinking some of these other ones I should start a counter as well. I don't remember because I was drunk should be one of them for sure. If you have listened to any of the back catalog of Ninja News Japan and you have any recommendations for a counter we should keep, because I'm happy with keeping counters. It's actually quite fun. I think I don't remember because I was drunk should be up there. That is absolutely one that should go in. We haven't had a lot of obstruction of businesses lately. So I'm waiting for a tsunami, a wave of obstruction of business crimes to come up in the future. But also, if we could start the trend of hitting people with banana peels, I think that's something we should actually start.